We come to God with gratefulness, with gratitude, because of what He has already done for us on the cross. Remembering that every time we come to Him, that Jesus has paid it all, Jesus has done it all, and we got to believe in the finished work of the cross. And now it's time for us to give our lives to Him, surrender ourselves to Him. So we want to thank Jesus. We want to thank God for His grace. And let us go into the Word. I was praying and asking the Lord. So yesterday itself, the Lord told me to take this word for today. And I said and prayed a bit about it in case meeting yesterday. And the Lord told me to take this word today. Hallelujah. And even as we take this topic of anxiousness, I believe through the power of His word and of His spirit, we will defeat anxiousness in our life, because anxiousness is a mindset. Yes, anxiousness is a state of mind, and the Bible says, do not be anxious. So let's go to the verse. You will not see a lot of scriptures where the Bible uses anxiousness, but one of the scripture that we know, all of us know about it, Philippians chapter number 4. Which talks, where Paul talks about anxiousness. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verse number 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse number 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are few things in it, which are all connected together. That one is anxiousness that we are going to talk about. Second is prayer and supplication. Third is coming to God with thanksgiving and surrendering our requests, our needs to God. Fourth is the peace of God. Hallelujah. So these are the things that this verse is talking about. And all these four things are related to each other. Then there are other things that are related to the overcoming of anxiousness. That is obedience and faith. We will come to that at a later part. But first of all, we need to understand from the definition of the Holy Spirit that how would the Holy Spirit define anxiousness? What is actually anxiousness? Now, we know anxiousness from the dictionary meaning. See, there is a dictionary of the Holy Spirit that I found out. And whenever I study the Bible, I would ask the Holy Spirit to explain me the meaning of the word from His dictionary. And that dictionary is the insight and the mystery of God, from which the Holy Spirit brings the real meaning that is hidden in the spirit realm, the mystery of God, and brings it to us, which is the meaning, which is the interpretation interpreted by the heart of God about that very word that we want to understand. The dictionary meaning of death is when a person dies physically. The dictionary meaning, the spirit meaning of death, according to God, is something else. The dictionary meaning of uprightness is something else in the English dictionary. But as per God, uprightness is something else. Blameless, holy, these everything has a dictionary meaning when you go to the English dictionary or Oxford dictionary. But God has a different meaning to it. So we got to understand anxiousness, not by searching on the Google, what is the meaning of anxiousness? But we got to understand anxiousness from the interpretation of the Holy Spirit. So this is what He told me. What is anxiousness? Anxiousness is when we want or do something without God, without His permission and intervention, and without knowing His will. Okay? Anxiousness is when we want or do something without God, without His permission, that is His will, and intervention, and without knowing His will. That is called anxiousness. Now evaluate your life. At this definition I gave you, I just want you to evaluate and ponder upon your life. And just think about the situations you became anxious, or the ways you took up in which you became anxious. Every way in which you became anxious will be the way that you went in without prayer and without having the assurance from God that I should go in that way, or I should do a certain thing. Amen. Are we understanding the meaning of anxiousness? Hallelujah. Anything we proceed to do, I want to go there and start a business, but I never ask God about it. When even I am going there to start business, and when some things are not happening, I am becoming anxious because the support of God is not there in it. That is called anxiousness. Okay, let me again tell it to you. Anxiousness is when we want or do something without God, without His permission and intervention, and without knowing His will. There is something called as tomorrow in the Bible. And the Bible, so many times, even Jesus talks about tomorrow in Matthew chapter number 6. He says, do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about its own self. Why is a person worrying about tomorrow? Because you're at the primary place, at the first place, in the present, in the current time, he is not dependent on God. That's why there is a worry, a kind of a anxiousness. Worry is a kind of a word for anxiousness, that he is worrying about tomorrow, because his dependence is not on God. His prayer life is not in place. Hallelujah. Amen. So, whenever in our lives, when I was thinking about anxiousness, I came to understand every time I was anxious is when I did not see God and started to walk on a way. When I did not see God and started to do something. When I did not see God, took His permission, had Him intervene first, and took a decision in my life. Everything, every such things I have done in my life has always made me anxious. And when I start to go on that path, I am designed, when I accept Christ, I am designed to be run by an engine that is the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the will of God. I am just the car body. The car body, however beautiful I look, however intelligent I am, however scholar I am, like the car body you see, you know, it looks beautiful, but it is actually the engine inside the bonnet that drives the car. If the engine is not there, hallelujah, we break down in between. So we need to tap into the will of God. We need to take permission from God. We need to understand the will of God about a certain decision before we step into that very way first. And if we don't want God in our ways, our mind would be anxious in everything that we are doing. Let's go to a certain verse that I am reminded of, that is not in my diary, but I am reminded of it. James chapter number, it's in James chapter number 4. Turn with me to James chapter number 4. Verse number 13 and 14. Now this James chapter number 4. Verse number 13 and 14, James is talking about the revelation of life and about tomorrow. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, verse number 15, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Are you understanding? Your tomorrow is beautiful if you understand the will of God. You will not worry about tomorrow if you know that today you are in God's hands. You will not be anxious about the things of the future and not be insecure of it when you understand that every day I decide to depend on the Lord to do His will. Are we understanding? Anxiousness. Anxiousness happens when people live without God. Now, some people are being manipulated by the devil to become anxious. And they don't include God in their decisions. They don't include God in their life to walk in His will and to understand His will. But some people purposely don't want to include God, and you will see their life filled with anxiousness. Hallelujah. They prefer their desires over the will of God. Write it down. The second thing about anxiousness is birthed when your desires takes over the will of God and the time of God in your life. Anxiousness is birthed when your desires takes over the will of God and the time of God in your life. Okay? And what anxiousness does? Anxiousness is a defocused, wandering, insecure, and faithless mind. Anxiousness is a defocused, wandering, insecure, and faithless mind. When a person is anxious, leave about having revelations from God, the person can't even read the Bible. You are trying to open the Bible, you are reading three verses, but your mind is going somewhere else. You just can't read your Bible. An anxious person cannot even pray the real prayer. You know, I'm not talking about praying in the morning for 10 minutes, half an hour, and making a list and saying, point number one, God, I need this. Second point, I need this. Then pray for your church. I'm not talking about that prayer. We will come to the prayer model, because Apostle Paul, when he's talking about anxiousness, he recommends an antidote for anxiousness, and he talks about prayer, which is the antidote for anxiousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? So, people, either the devil manipulates them to not include God in their decisions, and the devil is able to manipulate you because your desires are taking over the Spirit of God in you. Your desires are taking over the will of God in you. For example, if I fell in love with looking at a beautiful girl, looking at a beautiful woman, I fall in love looking at her beauty. And all I am seeing, that's my desire. All I am seeing is, oh, how beautiful she looks. Oh, she has a lot of money. Oh, this. Oh, she is intelligent. Oh, she comes in the church. Oh, she sings so sweetly like an angel. And all those things I am saying. And all those desires are birthing in my heart, which is not wrong. But if those desires takes over the will of God, I don't go and ask God, God, you know, I think I like that girl, but what is your will? What is your will? Because if it's not your will, I will not go ahead with that desire. Your will comes before my desire. Amen. And that is the model of prayer. That is, do not be anxious for anything, but for everything. Everyone say, for everything. In prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. For everything. Everything in your life needs to come to the prayer altar. Every decision in your life needs to come to the prayer altar. Hallelujah. That is how we defeat anxious mind. That is how we defeat anxiousness. What did I say to you? Anxiousness is a mindset. There are different mindsets in the Bible, and some of them I have already taught about. There is the carnal mind, there is the debased mind, there is the spiritual mind, there is the anxious mind. Apart from the spiritual mind, all the three minds take you away from God. All the three are the mindsets. So I'm talking about our anxious mind. It's not wrong to desire good things. We can desire it, but let not that desire overtake and take over the will of God in our lives. Hallelujah. We go in the world and everything that money can buy looks attractive to the flesh, and we can desire it. But after we desire it and you know and tell God, Lord, do you want to give? Is that for me now? Hallelujah. Amen. So when you place the will of God and seeking the permission of God and the intervention of God in everything that you do in your life, you will not be anxious. Anxiousness will not be found in you. Amen. Are we understanding? But any place we are so hasty. Oh, I cannot, you know, if I say if I don't marry that girl, if I don't propose that girl today, you know, let me ask God afterwards. But today, if I don't propose the girl, someone else will do. And then I cannot live without her. Hallelujah. Oh my God, that is the marketing trick, you know, many products and many companies use. And when you go to the market or whatever market, you know, you go in those market, maybe, you know, like Costco or anything. The products they sell, they say, this is the last stock available at this price. And if you don't take it now, you will never be able to buy it again. And that gives birth that I want to buy it now. That gives birth to anxiousness. Because if I don't have it today, I will never have it tomorrow. Anxiousness. Anxiousness. Where if your desires, you are letting your desires take over the will of God in your life, the devil finds a way to bring anxiousness in your life and to make you do the things that are outside of the will of God. That are outside of the will of God. Every person has desire. I have desire. Even servants of God have desires. But a person who loves God and who lives in godliness have understood to place the will of God in prayer through prayer life above their desires. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Anxiousness is where we do things or where we step into things without asking the permission of God, without seeking His will. It results into anxiousness. Hallelujah. Whatever invitations come to me, I would first seek the will of God. And for the past few years, you know how many invitations God has made me reject? And I'm just sitting here and teaching on this platform and not going anywhere. If I would have gone, you know, enough is enough. Let me not ask God this time and let me go. If I went, in my conscience, I know I did not ask God. And things when it happens, how can I? You know, anxiousness does not allows you to go to God because you know, first of all, at the first place, the very step you have taken it without God. And now when you are in the middle of the situation, you know, hallelujah. If you let the devil pull the rope that is attached to you and he pulls it, and he takes you to a place. The tendency is you will move ahead with him instead of coming back. You will move ahead in anxiousness instead of coming back. That is the tendency of your flesh. That is the tendency of your carnal mind. You know, however, I have come till here without asking the permission of God. I have managed somehow. God will say, come out of it and come back. Leave it. But you will say, you know, I still desire till here I have reached, let me go ahead more. And then you become more anxious because you want to move further ahead without the presence of God. You become more anxious. You become more anxious. Anxiousness builds up it in you. And when anxiousness starts to build up in you, it starts to lead you in wicked ways. We'll come to that. It starts to lead you in wicked ways. In evil ways, in the ways of disobedience, in the ways of evil. Hallelujah. Are we understanding the anxiousness? Anxiousness. So, okay, let us come back to Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So Apostle Paul is teaching that the antidote for anxiousness is a prayer life. Now, he is not talking about the prayer that most of the Christians do, that they get up in the morning and pray for 10 minutes, or maybe some of them pray for 15 minutes. Some of them sometimes pray for half an hour. And they pray, okay, Father, I come to you. They make the Lord's Prayer. They say, okay, I need you. I'm going to the office. I need to do this job. This. He's not talking about that prayer. He's talking about the real prayer life. What is the meaning of prayer? I have already taught about prayer, but I'm not going to cover everything. But simply, the primary purpose of prayer is kingdom come and his will be done. That is the primary purpose of prayer. Matthew chapter number 6, don't go there. We all know about it. When Jesus taught the model of prayer, he said, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That is the first request. That is the second request. First is glorify your name, hallowed be thy name. The second request is your kingdom come. It's prayer starts off with the interests of God and not with the interest of man. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Your name be hallowed, your name be glorified. That is the purpose of prayer. Why we pray? Why? To glorify the name of the Father. We pray for that. Second purpose is your kingdom come. Hallelujah. Third purpose is your will be done. So the primary purpose of prayer is glorifying God for his kingdom come and for his will be done. That is prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul is teaching here that if you don't want to be anxious for nothing, you need to bring everything in that prayer life. Now, when you bring your request to God, you are not forcing God, God, do it today. No, God, do it as per me. No, you are accessing prayer, accessing the heart of God by bringing his request to glorify his name, for his kingdom to come through those requests, and for his will to be applied and to be seeked through those requests. And then the Bible says, the peace of God, hallelujah. Are we understanding this now? So, to overcome anxiousness, we got to have a strong prayer life and we got to have the right prayer life. Not just praying, oh God, in the morning I have 10 points to pray, and you just pray and forget about it and you leave the presence of God and do your work. That's it. No, praying is everything that you desire. I am not saying it's a sin to desire. We desire things, but bringing all the requests to God to seek his will and tell God, Lord, I need these things. I want these things. I need these things to happen, but not above your will. So I come to you in prayer to pray. Hallelujah. To give this request to you. And may through this request is your name be glorified, your kingdom come, and your will be done. And if it's not aligning to your will, to your kingdom come, and to the glorifying of your name, I don't want it. That is what Apostle Paul is talking. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, bring your request before God. And then what it says, the peace of God. Now it comes, the peace of God, write it down. The peace of God is the defeater of the anxious mind. The peace of God is the defeater of the anxious mind. Peace of God will come when you have a prayer life of complete dependence on Him. The peace of God will come when you have a prayer life of complete dependence on Him. The peace of God is also an aspect of the helmet of salvation, the peace of God that is guarding your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding, people of God? Amen. Here you are. And there is so much of things that are lying for tomorrow or for the coming month. But here you are at peace because You know that your life is in God's hand. You have a prayer life where you are seeking the glorifying of the name of God. You are seeking His kingdom and you are seeking His will to be done in your life and not your will to be done. And so, even though there are things to pay, bills to pay tomorrow, bills to pay next month, and you know there is nothing in your account, but since you have been dependent on God in prayer, you are not anxious about tomorrow. The peace of God is guarding your heart and mind. Listen to me very carefully now. You know, you will not be anxious about tomorrow. You will not step into something and become insecure about it and become so anxious. You yourself are anxious and cannot pray. So you're asking so many people to pray for you and you are still in anxiousness, even though so many people are praying for you, because at the first place, you were not dependent on God to take the next step. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me very carefully. Sister Ruth had a testimony that she shared with me. And then I asked her permission and she said, okay, yeah, you can share. Because when I was preparing for today's word, God told me, share her testimony. So she had a ticket that the police put her on her name. And through that ticket, there was a case in the court because of the ticket. And the ticket was not, as per her, it was not supposed to be placed on her, those fines through that ticket that were placed. Because someone in a car, she was wearing the seatbelt, but someone else, the place she works for as a nurse, those people who are not in their right mind, they were not putting their seatbelt. So she has no control over them. So that's why she thought the ticket had been placed in her name. So she had a hearing and she said, since I have not done anything, Pastor Rahul, I am not going to pay for that fine. The devil is not going to rob me of my finances. The devil is not going to steal of my finances. And she prayed and she told God, God, I am faithful in your work. I am giving my tithes and offering to you and I never robbed you of anything. Lord, since I have obeyed those things, I know you are with me. I have the faith that you will not allow the devil to rob me of my finances. And she went to the court that day on the hearing. Hallelujah. And the court said, the court gave her an offer. And the court said, you know, either you pay only $200 rather than paying, I don't remember, $500 or $600. And we will nullify. But she said, I will not pay a penny because I have faith that God will not allow me to give anything to the devil. I will not pay. I have faith. So they gave her two options, to appear for the hearing or just pay $200 and escape. She rejected that $200 offer. And she went for the hearing. She said, I am not going to pay anything. And when she stood there, and we prayed before it, we asked the Lord to take complete control of the judge and of whatever the jury, the thing, the people who are going to make the decision, the police and everyone standing. So she went there and she said to the judge that I was wearing a seatbelt, but the person with me was not wearing a seatbelt. Hallelujah. And the judge found out actually that the police made a wrong ticket. And then the judge nullified the case against her and she did not have to pay anything. She did not go to the court with anxiousness. She went to the court with faith. Why? Because at the first place, her finances were in the hands of God. Amen. Are we understanding? Christians don't walk in the spirit. She was walking in the spirit. She was walking in the faith. We can only have faith. We cannot have faith if we are not obeying God at the first place. Hallelujah. How can, when I'm giving examples related to her testimony. When I myself, I'm not giving to God, how can I stand in the place of prayer and ask God to release that property, release this finances, release that and this and that and this and that? When at the first place, I am anxious about the financial things happening around me because at the first place, I have not met the requirements of obeying God. Do we see that? I have not allowed God to intervene in my finances. And here I am anxious about the problems I am facing in my finances. Why I am anxious? Because I need to go out and see the root of it. The root of it is I did not include God in my finances. Hallelujah.
Are we understanding people of God? I went to a crusade. In that crusade, oh, 5,000 people came. So many people got healed. But as soon as I did the crusade, I fell sick as I was going to die. And I am anxious that I will die. Why? Because I did not ask the permission of God. I did not include God in my going to that crusade. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? So, obedience leads to faith, and faith leads to have a strong prayer life, and a strong prayer life leads to the omission of anxiousness. These all things are connected. Hallelujah. She had peace in her heart because she had the conviction when she went to the court that God is with her. Why? Because at the first place, she has a strong prayer life where she includes God in all the things of her life. Amen. Are we understanding? You know, you can understand how strong people are in faith when they share their testimonies. If someone else would have been there in a place and he would have come and testified, oh no, you know, Pastor Raul prayed for me and we prayed together, and the fine that I had to pay, I got an offer of $200. I gave the $200 and the court case that was not the best of God that God has for you. The best of God was you should not pay anything. And by faith, you can bring to existence what God has for you. And that will only happen when you don't have anxiousness. Amen. Hallelujah. I know this great man of God from India, and his sermons are evergreen. And when I met him, I wanted to meet him, because when I was 19 years old, I used to read his books and I grew hearing his sermons. He's a great Bible teacher from India, and I wanted to meet that man of God. And he had a conference nearby my place. I went to that conference. In the break, I got a chance to go down the aisle. And he was sitting there. And when I saw him face to face, his face was glowing with the glory of God. He's around 75, 80, but he does not look like that. His face was glowing with the glory of God. And this man shared a testimony in his life. And he faced a lot of persecution, not from Hindus, from Christians, actually. So he testifies... the Christians, the teaching that he started to do, brought so much of Christian persecutors that one fine day, some Christian persecutors came and planted a bomb in his car to kill him. These were pastors collaborating together from churches to plant a bomb in his car to kill this man of God. So that day when he was supposed to drive his car, something happened that he did not went to that place. He went to somewhere else where he had to take another cab and not his car. And God saved him that day. But the persecutors kept on persecuting him. They filed a case in the Supreme Court against his name, the Supreme Court of India, bringing charges against him for something or the other. And then this man of God said, when the day I had to go to the court, I saw Jesus walking before me, and the steps he was taking, I saw things written on the steps, and the steps that he took before me was love and peace. And then when I knew I was in his will and I did nothing wrong to anyone, and I am not bitter against anyone and unforgiving any of those things, I went in love and peace and stepped on that place for the questions to be asked. And when the judges started to ask so many questions, I just said, I don't have anything against anyone. I just love them and I forgive them. He went in peace because his life was secured in a strong prayer life. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? He knew that he was in the will of God. He knew that he was in the pathways of God. And God was allowing those things to happen. Whenever we don't have the peace of God, we will have anxiousness. And that anxiousness has come in to start to rule over our hearts and minds because we have not included God and not let God intervene in our lives. Are we understanding? The peace of God is the defeater of anxious mind. Okay? The peace of God will come when you have a prayer life of complete dependence on Him. Peace of God secures us, and the tomorrow, as it assures us that we are walking in the will of God. Hallelujah. The peace of God that surpasses all what? Understanding. That surpasses all understanding. You can tap into the wisdom and understanding of God only when you are completely dependent on Him and you are letting Him to control your life by a strong prayer life. That is the purpose of prayer. Here we are, you know, oh my God, I rebuke Christians, some of them, when they come in the meeting, as soon as the meeting starts, they will load me with messages of their prayer request. Oh, I have this, pray this. Oh my God, that is not prayer. That is not praying. Praying is first aligning yourself to the will of God. Praying is first to still yourself so that you can abide in Him and He can abide in you and His word can abide in you. And then you start to pray led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. One of the ladies from India, she does not come on the group but regularly listen to the sermons, and then the sermons encouraged her to go and see God in the secret place. And so she went in the secret place, and recently, yesterday, she came back from the secret place and sent me an update, a report of what happened. And she said, Brother Rahul, I go to seek God, but I go to seek God with all this prayer request in my mind. But when this time, understanding what He needs from me is not all the prayer request. But when I went to the secret place, I expected some things to do and some things to happen, but God took me on a different ride because I did not go there to bombard God with prayer requests. I just went there to listening to those teachings and all, just went there to empty myself and hear the voice of God. So it was things that I did not expected. It was different. And now I know I was just praying, but not hearing the voice of God. For you to align with the will of God and the voice of God, you need to be still. You need to be meek. You need to be empty. That is the start of prayer. But what Christians are doing is they start prayer by bombarding God with prayer requests. Oh God, I come to you. I need this. I need that. I want that person to be this. No. Still yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. And start to abide in Him and He abide in you. Are we understanding, people of God? That is how you start prayer. That is how, you see, we start this meeting with praise and worship. We start this meeting with prayer. And then at the end, we start to take requests because that is the model of prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Then starts our daily request. Give us today our daily bread. First alignment. First understanding His will. Amen. First letting Him take over our desires. First letting His will sanctify our desire. Letting His word segregating and making what is of the flesh, separating what is of the flesh and what is His. Hallelujah. He will only be able to do that when you allow this doctor, the Holy Spirit, to rip your heart open and let the Holy Spirit segregate things in your heart. In the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? But when we go to God clouded with thoughts, clouded with worries, clouded with prayer requests, I'm not saying prayer requests are wrong, but when we go to God clouded, we are not abiding in Him. We are abiding in our own requests and worries and thoughts. But the Bible says, abide in Him first, and He in you, and His word in you, then you shall bear fruit. Then your prayer life will be fruitful. And many Christians don't understand this simple teaching. Hallelujah. When I go to the, you see, every person, they will think, oh, Apostle Raul is doing this ministry and he's teaching these things and abiding and all, because he does not, maybe he does not has any problems in his life. He does not has concerns in his life. So he can, no, every person has so many things, but we choose the will of God above our desires first. We choose the face of God. We choose the kingdom of God above our own interests. And when we seek that, first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the request will be fulfilled automatically. The Bible says, Matthew chapter number 6, when Jesus started to introduce prayer, few verses before that, Jesus says, you don't have to repeatedly say things to God, because God only already knows the desires that are there in your heart. He knows it. And so many times that I have happened, I have not prayed for anything, but a desire in my heart came in my heart. And I told Lord, Lord, you don't, I cannot afford, I, you know, but if it's your will, you give. And I forgot, and the next day he gave it to me, because he knows, he is a God, he is a Father, that you don't have to beg before him. He understands. But if you, and that things, those things will happen when you understand kingdom come, when you understand his will be done in your prayer first. You just mention that in your heart, and you know, I will, but if it is the will of God, he will give it to me. And you see, the next day it comes to you. The next day God gives it to you, because you seek his kingdom in prayer first. You seek his will in prayer first. And that makes your life filled and covered with the peace of God, passing all understanding. So when the peace of God is the antidote to anxiousness. The peace of God is the antidote to, the prayer is the antidote to anxiousness, and the peace of God is the defeater of anxiousness. Amen. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. If you don't have a prayer life, you are not obedient at the first place. If you're not obedient and submissive, it leads to anxiousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Okay, let's go ahead. The next thing I want to mention is anxious mind. Anxious mind. The anxiousness that comes, it comes, I told you, it's a mindset. It's a mind. It makes your mind hyperactive. You cannot sit with an anxious mind in a prayer meeting to listen to God. You cannot sit with an anxious mind to pray to God. You cannot read the Bible with an anxious mind. And anxious mind, the next thing I want to tell you, anxious mind is the breeding ground of the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear dominates over people who have an anxious mind. Write it down. What? Anxious mind is the breeding ground of the spirit of fear. Let's go to a verse in the Bible. In the book of, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That brings us to the understanding that there is a spirit of fear, that is the spirit of fear. If anxious mind, you have an anxious mind, a person has an anxious mind, you know, mosquitoes breed on the water, on the stagnant water. Mosquitoes. Recently, they conducted a search because this dengue fever was growing in India. And then they conducted a search. And in that search, they went to the rich people in Mumbai, in the city of Mumbai. And they did the they started to search out their houses, all those rich people who were infected with dengue fever that is caused by the mosquito. Some of the Bollywood stars and the politicians, when they started to search their houses, they found out in some isolated places in their house, there was stagnant water lying there, stagnant water. The house is so beautiful. The house is worth billions of dollars, or millions of dollars and billions of dollars. Such a expensive house, such a beautiful house from outside, such a beautiful house from inside, but there were places in the house that they left unclean, and those unclean places had accumulated water, stagnant water, for a long period of time that became the breeding ground for the mosquitoes. The mosquitoes started to come in that water and started to lay eggs. And then those mosquitoes in that beautiful house, which had air conditioning, which had all sorts of scented candle lightings and everything, the mosquito came and started to bite the rich people, and they were infected with dengue. Hallelujah. They were infected with dengue. Why? Because the area in their life was left rejected, isolated. They did not see those areas or took time to see and research areas in their house to clean those places, which became the breeding ground for those dengue mosquitoes. So I am telling this to you because I want to tell you that anxiousness, when you reject anxiousness and continue to be anxious, many people reject the anxiousness, you know. Oh yeah, I become anxious sometimes. That happens all the time. So I don't worry about it. No, when you are leaving that area unchecked, and when you are not cleaning anxiousness, what will start to happen? A spirit will come and start to lay eggs on that field of anxiousness. Hallelujah. And then when the eggs are matured, it will start to release small, small demons and start to infect you with the spirit of fear and insecurity. Hallelujah. And then what the spirit of fear will do is, the spirit of fear will not manifest when you are doing the things of the world. But that spirit of fear will manifest when you do anything which is of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding what I am teaching you? That spirit of fear will manifest and start to speak to you and stop you from doing the things of God. From doing the things of God. Like basically praying, coming into a fellowship, or going deep into the Bible. Or some people are even gripped with fear by going deep into the spirit realm, going deep into the word. A lady used to call me, and she was greatly gifted, very mightily gifted, maybe gifted more than me. But those gifts was destroyed by the spirit of fear. She used to see demons, she had the gift of deliverance, but never she was able to use those gifts because of the spirit of fear. And you know why the spirit of fear became more and more strong in her life? Because she was living an anxious life. You know why she was living an anxious life? Because every decision she would say, "Oh, Pastor Rahul, you know, you told me this. Thank you. I will do like this only. I will do like this only. I know." I said, "I am not telling it to you to do like this. It's God. It's God's word. Is the Holy Spirit counsel to you that you have to do?" "Yes, I will do like this only." Then after 1 week, I find out that she did not do it like that. Like that, she took a way of her own desires. So it had been 5 years that I was counseling that woman. 5 years. And every time I tell her something, and the way she would say, "I will do like this only, Pastor Rahul. Yes, I am encouraged. I am revived after speaking to you. I am revived after praying with you. Now I am going to leave that boyfriend. Now I am not ha going." And the next week she says, "Oh, you know, Pastor Rahul, I was again feeling lonely and I called my boyfriend, that unbelieving boyfriend." So she was just not able to have God control her life. And that's why her life was filled with anxiousness. And slowly, slowly, this anxious woman, when she was anxious for 4 or 5 years, even things like she started to believe that word of God is no longer going to help her. And she started going to psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist recommended her sleeping pills to sleep because she could not sleep in the night. And when she continued in the anxiousness, you see, she rejected that breeding ground where the mosquitoes come and feed and they multiply. She rejected. She did not work on the anxiousness by including God in all her requests and bringing it to God in prayer, depending on God, what happened is this spirit of fear took over her life. Spirit of fear took over, and she was greatly gifted. Anytime she wants to do anything of God, the spirit of fear will come and make her stop, do things. Don't do that. This will happen. Don't do this. And slowly, slowly, when the spirit of fear comes, it also removes you from your destiny helpers, from the fellowship of the people that God gave you. It removes you from the things of God by inculcating fear, insecurity, offenses, etc., etc. in a person. The breeding ground was the anxious mind that the person rejected. Oh, yeah, yeah, anxiousness. You know, Elijah was anxious, you know. So the Bible says, I can be anxious. What? Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, people talk like that. Oh, David sinned, so I can sin. Oh, David committed adultery, so it's okay. You know, God understands. The Bible records it. Those things are mentioned to portray the frailty of man and the weakness of man, not give you a license to sin like they sinned. Hallelujah. Amen. Any which ways, not going into that. But what did I say? The anxious mind is the breeding ground of the spirit of fear. Yes. Do you know? Do you understand? God invested so much on those people of Israel who were in Egypt. He invested so much. Through the hand of Moses, he performed signs, wonders, miracles. He brought plagues and plagues upon Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. They saw with their eyes. But the thing is, they were all anxious along the way to the promised land. They were all anxious, you see. Oh, we don't have, we had meat in Egypt. We had water in Egypt. We had onions and garlics. That is mentioned in the Bible. We had lettuce, this and that in Egypt. Wow, we want this, we want that. Anxiousness. Not letting your request known to God and asking His will, but anxiousness. They were all anxious. I don't have time to go through the whole story. Anxious during the desert. What resulted? It resulted in a spirit of fear that stopped them to go to the promised land. You remember the story, right? Numbers chapter number 11, 12, 13, all those chapters. Mentions about that Moses, God told Moses to send spies out of each tribe of Israel. They went apart from, except Joshua and Caleb. All of them brought a negative report. And they said, you know what, Moses? They are like giants and we are like grasshoppers. We cannot, you know, we want to go back. Spirit of fear, not allowing a person to step into the blessing of God. Not allowing a person to do the things of God. That is what fear does. The spirit of fear will not stop a person when the person wants to go and commit adultery. The spirit of fear will not say anything that time. But when a person wants to, is stepping into the next season, the spirit of fear will come and manifest in that person to stop a person. The spirit of fear, the functionality of the spirit of fear is to stop a believer to do the things of God or to perform the will of God. That is what anxious mind gives birth to. Amen. Are we understanding, people of God? Yeah, if we ignore anxiousness, I worked upon this anxiousness. Then I found the definition of anxiousness. And the Holy Spirit told me, anxiousness is when you want to do something or go somewhere without God and without His will. They wanted to go back to Egypt. How? Without God. Anxiousness, fear, insecurity. Christians are, you will see Christians all around going to the church, sitting in the prayer meeting, praying in tongues, doing morning prayers, doing night vigils, but see their life, anxious life. Why? Because they have not worked to eradicate anxiousness by prayer and by the peace of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So this is the thing. Anxiousness, anxious mind is the breeding ground of the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear dominates over people who are anxious or who have anxious mind. The next thing, anxiousness leads to wickedness, bloodshed, disobedience. witchcraft. Hallelujah. Everything that looks big started off with something that looked small. And then, because we rejected the small and we thought it is a small problem. Oh, that thought that came, it's just a thought. It's not a sin, Brother Rahul. You are so, it's just a small thing. And you let it grow. Everything that looks big starts off with something which is small in the spirit realms. The intention was to make it big. That big witchcraft that the person got into started with an anxious mind that looked very, very powerless and small and with a, you know, anxious mind. That's okay. And that started to lead that person. That started to lead the person when ignored into bloodshed, into wickedness, into evil ways, into what? Disobedience, into witchcraft, into occultism. Hallelujah. Many people who are today operating under occultic altars and occultic powers, many of the pastors like that, you know why they got into that? Because they were anxious to grow their ministry. Mm-hmm. They were anxious to grow their ministry fast. They were anxious in competing with other servants of God. Oh, that person grew. That young man grew. When I will grow. They were anxious through competition. Oh, that person, I want to become like that fast. I want to have a mega church. I want to have 1,000 people. Oh no, this is a small thing. I want to have the money. I want to have this. I want to have a church building. They grew anxious. And when that anxiousness for growing in ministry was ignored and not worked upon, it led them into witchcraft. It led them into occultism. Now, occultism and witchcraft are so natural to those pastors that they are not even convicted that they are sinning. They are coming on the pulpit, opening the Bible and teaching with powers that are of demons, ministering to people. And as per them, it's not sin. Some of they say, oh, we when they are exposed, oh, we are using it, but it is for the extension of the kingdom of God. My God, that is the heresy they say. And in their teachings, you can see that when they teach doctrines, you can see the spirit of lawlessness in that doctrine. You know, if a preacher goes there and talks about sin and overcoming sin from its roots, from its small, small things, they will say this is a religious people. They will take up stones and throw at the preacher. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. But if a preacher comes with sweet words, they will accept him. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I came in the authority of my Father, of God, and you don't accept me. Whereas when someone will come in his own name, in his own authority, you accept him. That is how people react. That is how human beings react. Hallelujah. Some people, I see them take the Bible twisted to the lifestyle that they themselves are living. Instead of they humbling themselves and telling God, God, my lifestyle, the things I am doing are not as per the standard of your word. Hallelujah. But they twist the high and lifted up and the absolute authority of the word and twist it and bring it down to suit their own lifestyle and preach the same and put people in error. Amen. There are preachers who have followers like anything. They preach, oh yeah, adultery is okay and this is okay. Fornication is not a sin. That is, there is no one. You know why they are preaching that? Because their consciousness is not allowing them to preach something that is not real in their life. So what they do is they twist the word to relieve their consciousness and bring people in the same pit of hell in which they are in, which they are going towards. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? And those things happen because of anxiousness. Because, what did I say? Because the desires of our heart took over the desire, the will of God. That was the small thing where it began, people of God. Oh my God. There is a verse in the book of James. I think in the book of James, chapter number 1. James, chapter number 1, okay, verse number, yeah, I found that verse, chapter number 1, verse number 13. 1:3:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Amen. Do we see that? So the devil finds a way to speak to you, to pull you into sin, when the desires take over the will of God, that is anxiousness. Mm-hmm. Verse number 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. What is death? As per the Bible, the Spirit of God leaving you, the presence of God leaving you. Hallelujah. Where did it start? Why that person landed up in witchcraft? Because there was a small thing, a desire that was above the will of God that the person ignored. If the person would have dealt with that cancer at that first stage, it would not have grown to lead him into witchcraft and occultism. Hallelujah. You know cancer? When it is detected at the first stage, they can treat the person to heal that cancer. But when the people ignore that and fourth stage comes, it's very difficult for the person to be healed from there. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. When the person has moved ahead in a lot of things, it's very difficult for the person to come back. Because I told you, the tendency of the flesh is, oh, I am so ahead now. The more you go away from God, the more difficult it becomes for you to come back. You know, grace preachers will say, oh, he's saying anything. But that is true. Go and take the life story of 10 Christians and study their lives. You will find out when they moved ahead a long way away from God, it became difficult for them to come back. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like a trap. It's like a, oh God, you go more and more deep into it. It becomes more and more. It's not that God cannot save you. God is there to save you. But your mind has cultivated the breeding ground of many spirits. God's hand is not, let me give you the words from the Bible, people of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He reminded me a verse. Okay, let me give you that verse. Isaiah, it's in Isaiah. Okay, my Bible opened to that verse also. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You understand? When I say that a person can go so far that he cannot come back, I am not saying that God's hand, behold, God's hand is not short that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, the Bible says, has separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. In that procedure of when you were starting off with small, you know how many prophets, pastors, believers came and you sat in those meetings and God was trying to bring you back. You were under the radar of God, but you went so far now that your own iniquities have shut off your ears and your eyes and your mind to God. And now you are believing in a lie rather than believing in God. That is what happens with the anxious person when anxiousness is ignored. Never take a decision in your life when you are anxious. Never. First, let the peace of God settle in for you to move ahead with the certain agenda that you want to take up in your life. Amen. Are we understanding? Men of God in the Bible fell because they preferred their own desires over the will of God. Why did Samson fall? Because he preferred the beauty of Delilah and of other prostitutes over the will of God in his life. Why did Saul fall? We will come to Saul. Because he preferred his ministry, his kingship, his attention that he was getting from people over the will of God. That's why he fell. That's what led him to anxiousness. So anxiousness leads into big sins of wickedness, because it becomes a breeding ground for demons and spirits. Anxious mind. It sounds, oh, anxious mind, a simple thing. No, it's dangerous. It's a breeding ground of dangerous dengue demons that can slowly, slowly lead you into death. Anxiousness. Hallelujah. Okay, let me take you to a verse. I think I sent that verse across to everyone yesterday. From Psalm chapter number 139, verse number 23-24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my what? Anxieties." I'm reading from NKJV. Some versions say thoughts, but here it says anxieties. What? Know my anxieties, and from those anxieties, see if there is any what? Wicked ways in me. So I came to the conclusion of the revelation. One of the revelation from the scripture is the wicked ways in us. The root of the wicked ways in us can be traced from our anxiousness. Yes. And that is why David is praying that prayer. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Try me and know my anxieties, because that is where you will search those wicked ways. I can evaluate my anxiousness to see from where the wicked ways started in me. Hallelujah. I know some grace believing believers would say, "Oh, Brother Rahul, no man is wicked, you know. And we are good. We are the children of God." That, because that is what you believe in, and that is what you listen to, where the preacher says, "You are beautiful. You are nothing wrong with you. You are not a sinner. You are a child of God. You should live your best life forever," so on and so forth. That is satanic. How good and simple it sounds, it's satanic. It's satanic because the Bible says the heart of a man is wicked. And until we realize we are wicked and sinful, and we are worthy to go to hell, we will not understand the importance of Jesus dying for us on the cross. If we were not wicked and sinful at the first place, why would God send his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for us? Because when we were sinners, he died for us. Don't evaluate your life by your own perspective and think, "I am not so bad. I am worthy. I'm not so bad." When the Holy Spirit will start to reveal to you the deep areas of wickedness bound in your own heart, you will say, "Lord, I am a sinner. Oh, this was there in me." That is a godly man who allows the Spirit of God to rip open his heart and reveal the thoughts and intents of man's heart. That is what the Word of God does when preached with power. But nowadays, the Word of God that is preached is making people feel comfy, cozy, and comfortable. Hallelujah. "Oh, I like that. So sweet preaching." The more you eat those sweets, you will become diabetic. And one day the diabetes will kill you. Amen. Hallelujah. David is praying. Oh my God. Every day I start my prayer. This is the verse I use from a long time. But recently the Lord showed me and told me the wicked ways inside of you can be traced to your anxiousness. Rahul, look at the things you become anxious for. Amen. Are we understanding? Anxiousness is a root. The tree is wickedness. The tree is evil ways. Maybe bloodshed. Maybe witchcraft. Stubbornness. Idolatry. Gossip. Malice, wrath, unforgiveness, bitterness, and all sorts of sins. Hallelujah. Okay. So, that is what the prayer is. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Okay. Let me take you to another verse. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. Maybe we will see this verse, we will read this verse, and then we will pray. 1 Samuel chapter number 13, verse number 7. "And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead, As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now, this is the picture. You know, Saul was a king that became a king not by the preordained will of God. He became a king from the demand of people. The people demanded a king. The people demanded a king. And God said, you know, Samuel, they are demanding a king, but tell them these are the repercussions of they having a king. So they said, oh, that's okay. We want to have our ways. We want to have a king. And then he chose Saul. Now, Saul was a person who was not trained in hearing God. David was trained in hearing God in the wilderness. Saul was not. That's why I don't have time to go there. Samuel introduced him to an ordination pathway for him to become a king. Remember that? He told Saul, now after this, when you go back, you will meet three people with bread in their hands and with meat. They were the priests of God going to the temple of God. He said, take the bread from them and eat. So he was introduced in the priesthood system before he was ordained. Then Samuel said, when you move ahead from that place, you will meet a group of prophets. And when you go in the group of prophets, the same spirit and anointing they have will come upon you, and you will start to prophesy. So as long as he went, the anointing came. And they said, is Saul also among one of the prophets? That was the proverb that Israel used, because he started to prophesy. But it was not his anointing that he received from the Lord by obedience. It was an anointing placed over him by the prophets. I will not come to that. There is the anointing that you receive from a man, and there is the anointing that you receive from God himself. And most of the things that are going on in the kingdom of God is get anointing from men. I'm not going into that. So Saul received, when you receive anointing from men, you have the power, but you don't know the ways. You have the power. You have the gift, but you don't know how to maintain it, because you received the anointing without hard work. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. I grew up in a church. It was a believing church. And the church was under an organization. So, and the pastor of the church, because when I was praying, and that pastor was persecuting me for years when I started to do ministry. So I asked God, Lord, what is wrong with him? The Lord told me he became a pastor without labor, because that organization was, whenever there were Hindi people and English language preference people in one church, they would say, okay, take the English people out and make someone among them a pastor. So that is how he became a pastor. He did not knew the labor to build a ministry from the scratch. So he was just sitting there, and he knew the word, he knows all this thing, he has the anointing, but the labor to build it from scratch, he did not know. Hallelujah. So Saul was like that. Are you understanding? He received the anointing, but it was not by a relationship with God. It was through someone else. Amen. I remember the testimony from a great man of God from South Africa. And he's a great man of God. And he was talking about Maurice Cerello. And he said, when Maurice Cerello came to South Africa for a crusade, because the peoples were so many, he released his anointing over pastors. He released his anointing over the pastors. And those pastors went in the crowd and started to deliver, cast out demons and heal people and perform signs, wonders, and miracles. And when Maurice Cerello was there, and he released the anointing, and so many people were healed by those pastors. And then he said Maurice Cerello did the crusade and he left. When he left, the pastors came back to square one. They became like same of the old, because until he gave the authority of his anointing for them to operate. That is what is fatherhood principles that people teach. If you stay under my anointing, you will operate. That is true. Because what that so-called prophet or spiritual father is teaching them is just to stay under my authority and operate in the anointing that I am giving to you by my will. That is possible. I remember speaking to someone from Mumbai. He was there in the Benny Hinn crusade. And when Benny Hinn came to our city, He released the anointing over the pastors. He released the anointing. And then after he went back from our city, people used to come in those churches in Mumbai. And crooked fingers, crooked legs used to straighten up by the anointing. But that revival lasted for only 2 months. Till the time anointing, that oil lasted on those people. Because it was the anointing that Benny Hinn received. It was not their anointing that they received from the Lord. Are you understanding? So it... Amen. Amen. So for 2 months, people were coming to the church, but it died down because the pastors of Mumbai did not know that they had to sacrifice. They were looking at, oh, great ministry we want. But have you sacrificed what he sacrificed in his life? Hallelujah. Have you taken time to know God, to do all those things, to have those gifts upon your life? Amen. So I'm trying to teach you about Saul. Saul received the anointing from the prophets. He was under the unction. So he received the anointing. And then the Bible says Samuel anointed him as the king. And he is the king, came by the demand of people. Never knew how to depend on God. Never knew. Read your Bible. Read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. You will not see Saul communicating directly with God. Hallelujah. So here it says, this Samuel, who is the prophet instructing him in the way of God, gave him a simple instruction to wait for him and not to offer sacrifice. So verse number 8, we are on 1 Samuel chapter number 13, verse number 8. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. This is the work that he took up in anxiousness. God told him to wait, but he did not wait because the people were getting scattered anxiously. Never perform a sacrifice in anxiousness. Never do anything spiritual in anxiousness. That can result in taking away the assignment of God and being given to someone else. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, and Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. He felt anxious. Oh, the enemy would kill me. The enemy will not kill you. You don't have to take the steps to protect yourself. You just stay in the will of God. That is what God was trying to teach him. And it was God who stopped Samuel from going there, because he was testing Saul, that whether this Saul will obey and hear my word, or whether he will go ahead with his own desire, that is anxiousness. Do we see that? We people think, oh, we have to do something for us to be saved from that. You have to do nothing. Be still and stay where you are in the will of God. Just be still. Just stay. Hallelujah. I have learned that. I have learned that, and there is much to learn for me. For the assignment kind of calling God has for me. The greater the assignment, the more will be the waiting time of testing. The more that person will stay long in the wilderness. He will stay long in the secret. God will never make him visible for long time, because God is training him, pruning him, for greater things to come and greater seasons to come. And Saul could not stop himself from ministry. So I always teach servants of God that you should have the appetite to stay in God's will instead of going out and doing this, doing that ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Saul said to Samuel, I thought the enemy will come and they will destroy us. And so I had to take the step. He does not know that protecting himself is not by his own mind, but by staying in the circle of the will of God. By staying, you know, the blood can only protect you when you are inside the house that has the application of the blood. That was the command to the people of Israel on the Passover, that don't go out of the house. Amen. The blood will not protect everyone. Not protect everyone. Oh, the blood is also for unbelievers. It's not for them. It's not doctrinal. The blood will only protect those who are in the circle of the blood. who are inside the house, who are inside the will that is protected by the blood. And Saul went out of it, thinking that he will do things. He will accomplish things out of anxiousness. I just want to encourage people. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Be still and don't be discouraged. Don't be anxious. Oh yeah, that person is moving ahead. Let them move ahead. But you be secured in the thing that you are in the will of God. You are doing what God has told you to do. That's it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight, even as you have spoken to us, and I believe already by the utterance of your word, there is a deliverance from anxiousness. Already by the utterance of your word, there is a deliverance from anxiousness. And that stagnant water, that breeding ground that has been attracting demons in the lives of people is breaking today. Even as your people of God, let your request be known to God. Do not be anxious. Be not anxious for nothing, but in everything, let your request by prayer and supplication and by in thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And even as you receive the word and apply it, the peace of God is being released in your lives. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding has been released in your life to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Roba la shamanakari fazala hatarafando. La franzo se fresse crefano rofo se fresse shabuna mari bama mana rabana rabaso torafa. Rafraldo shavravala haldi. And the Lord is asking me to release a word of restoration. To release a word of restoration of the things that were lost. Hallelujah. Of the years that the locusts had eaten. Let there be a restoration that God is releasing. Even as that anxiousness leaves you, there comes a restoration of the years, of the time that you lost in the mind of anxiousness. Yes, the mind of anxiousness brings delays in our lives and causes the locusts to eat our time and to take us back in the old things. And that has been broken. That hole has been broken now. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, release, Holy Spirit, release, Lord, I ask you that you will start to release restoration at the utterance of the word. Hallelujah. Release restoration in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God, the Lord is showing me that some people are anxious with the burden of other people. Maybe they are people in your own family, people in relatives, and that burden is weighing you down and bringing fear in you that is stopping you to do the will of God. In Jesus' mighty name, it has to leave. Cast those people on God. I am telling you, you are not Jesus. You cannot save them. You carry your own cross and just intercede. That burden, you cast it on Jesus. Cast your anxiousness, your cares, your worry on Jesus. Hallelujah. And you take his yoke. You take his calling upon yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ, the weight of those burdens be lifted off now at the utterance and the reception of this word. Let that weight, that burden be casted off now. Casted off now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Baroto como. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Strength arises as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint and you won't grow weary. Yes, God is not tired. God is not weary of listening to you. But what he wants you to do tonight is whatever you are trying to do by your own strength, by your own intelligence, and by your own mind, those are the breeding ground of anxiousness. So cast everything in the hands of the Lord and tell him, I can't do anything. You can do nothing without me until you abide in me, says the Lord to you. Yes, come and abide in me. Come and depend on me. Bring everything that you have to my altar and lay it down and forget about it. Forget about it. And the peace of God will be released in your life. The peace of God, hallelujah, is the evidence that you are in the will of God. And you know what, brethren? How beautiful it is to stay in the will of God. And how beautiful it is, how wonderful it is to have the peace of God always. Things are going here and there in our life, but we are guarded by a peace that does not come from the world, but comes from the Lord. And let that peace be released in Jesus' name. I pray for against demonic spirits. You know, the demons will come. Yesterday we were praying. The demons will come when you are waiting on the Lord and try to break your consistency to wait and try to break that waiting and withdraw you from the presence of God. But I bind those demonic forces because the Bible says those who wait on the Lord shall mount up wings like of eagle. Hallelujah. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. You shall receive new strength when you wait on the Lord. Yes, new strength when we wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. When we wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says in Isaiah 64, I think, it says that the Lord acts for those or works for those who wait on him. Not for everyone, but those who have learned the waiting process to wait on him in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And that anxiousness that does not allow people to wait on you, that be removed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anxiousness is not a spirit, by the way. It's a mind, it's a breeding ground, it's a field. And that be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want to exhort you and tell you to place the will of God above your own interests and desires and above your power, your intelligence and your might. Place the power, the word, the will of God. Make the word of God the absolute authority of your life. And God will do mighty work in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we want to thank you for this time. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Even as we are ending this week, this Sunday night, Lord, with your word, I pray that people will be the doers of your word the whole week, Lord, until we meet again on Friday, that they will do thy word, meditate on thy word in Jesus' name, and they will have the peace of God in Jesus' mighty name. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. We ask, amen. Let's give a shout of amen unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, I will ask Sister Vetonia to take over and do the announcement. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a